heaven and nature sing, oh, heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing.
Your song, Elizabeth?
Oh, a little tune I can't seem to get out of my head.
Well, I wish I had your enthusiasm. Look at me. I know I said yes, and I meant it. But I also ran for the hills. Is that someone who's highly favored?
Oh, I'm so glad you came. You ran to the arms of someone who understands more than you know.
Too much. I mean, no one believes me. My parents look at me like I've betrayed them, and I'm lying. And the townspeople look at me like I'm hiding some big secret. I know what I saw. And I know I said yes and I meant it, but is this what I said yes to?
Oh, try not to worry too much. I know from experience that the Lord has a grand way of getting us all on board with this plan. I've laughed more in these 6 months than I have in my whole life.
Well, I wish I could say the same, but Joseph isn't laughing. I mean, he's not laughing at all.
Well, maybe Joseph needs to take some advice from Zachariah. He hasn't said a thing about our situation.
Is it true? Zachariah hasn't been able to speak since you found out you were pregnant?
Isn't it wonderful?
Well, maybe that's just it. Maybe it's just... it's too wonderful.
If the Lord has chosen an old woman beyond her years and a young woman before her time... who are we to argue with him?
Shouldn't I feel more joyful? Because all I keep thinking is, why me?
Mary, this child has been written about for hundreds of years by the prophets. And now it's coming to pass just as the Lord said it would. Oh, joy is not found in knowing why or how God does anything. The joy comes in saying yes to him when he calls.
Well, I guess I did do that.
Oh, yes, you did, my girl.
We are so blessed, Mary, that the Lord is fulfilling his promises to us through us.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Luke chapter 1, if you would like to turn with me, is where we will be at this morning. Luke chapter 1. This is the season of lights and songs and stories that captivate the heart and the imagination. This Advent season, we are going to journey through songs and characters of the Christmas story. Songs such as Joy to the World, and one of my all-time favorites, and I'm so glad Jared has brought this song into our liturgy, but Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. O come all ye faithful, and what child is this? Joy to the world has come, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. It is what was asked of Elizabeth and Mary as the untimely timing of God interrupting human history by coming to earth to undo what Adam and Eve had ushered into the world. This image of Eve and Mary is one of my favorite images about Advent, about the Christmas season, about the Christmas story. This time of year, I always draw my attention and my imagination to this image. It is profound and extremely powerful. And it reminded me of something that I believe I need to share about what we believe as followers of Jesus. It is a part of our orthodoxy, if you will. It is a part of our right belief system, the true, straight, right belief. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. The heaviness of this image is to me a fantastic reminder about what this Advent season is all about what orthodoxy is all about. And with orthodoxy comes orthopraxy, right belief leading to right practice, right living, right lifestyle. You cannot have one without the other. But there's also another word that I am reminded of, and that is the word Theotokos. It's Greek and it sounds fancy, and when you say it, you sound smart. But Theotokos. Theotokos literally means God brought in. And Mary is known as the Theotokos throughout Christian history. The one through which God ushered in, God brought in. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Luke's gospel tells how both Elizabeth and Mary responded and reacted to the news that they were not expecting nor ready for. When you look at Luke chapter 1, verse 25, and you hear Elizabeth's voice, which you do not get a lot of in the story. You get a lot of Zechariah and not much Elizabeth. But what we do get out of Elizabeth is quite powerful and quite worth sharing. Elizabeth says, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days, He has shown His favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." In her old age, Elizabeth receives news Sarah-like. You have to go back to the story of Abraham and Sarah to get it. But she receives this news Sarah-like that she would not have been expecting. And in the midst of this untimely interruption, she chooses praise and she chooses joy. Mary learns of very similar news, but she learns of this news in a very unique and unforgettable way, as is recorded in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. As it is with the Christmas story, since it is a story, one cannot just throw out a one-liner here and there. No, we are engaged and engulfed in the story. So I invite you to follow along with me. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. What a scene that must have been in heaven as God sent Gabriel. You ever allow your imaginations to run as to what that would have looked like? The anticipation within God. Now is the time. The culmination of the ages has arrived. Now is the time. Gabriel, go. It's time to get this going. to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, as any of us would have been, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." This is something to be reminded of when it looks like the world is crashing in on us. And each year it looks like the world is crashing down upon us a little bit more, a little bit more, and a little bit more. But this phrase right here is worth remembering. Even in the midst of the crashing, his rule and reign, his kingdom will never end. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. No word from God will ever fail." Mary's response is just so powerful. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. Mary is the first one to say yes to Jesus. Luke was very intentional to show how Mary, as a model of what responsive faith looks like. Verse 29 is quite interesting. Mary was troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Verse 29 is a particular verse that deserves some of our attention. Our English word wonder does not completely grasp the fullness of this Greek word. I'm about to get some of your accountant's attention. So, the Greek word means to make an audit. So you accountants in the room, you're already like with me. This Greek word means more than just pondering, processing. It means to make an audit. It is an accounting word, and it describes someone adding things up, someone weighing, someone pondering through all of this. And what she's asking is, am I really seeing an angel? Is all of this really truly adding up? Is this some sort of hallucination? God, I promise, no more Taco Bell before bed from now on. Luke is hinting to us that Mary is calculating what's going on. And in her calculation, she is responding in faith in a whole person experience that includes the entirety of herself. When Luke wrote these words concerning this episode in Mary's life, there was this long-awaited, "Come thou long-expected Jesus," is not just a nice little hymn. There is truth in that hymn. There was this long-awaited angst intention among God's people for God to step in and to rescue them. We're getting a little bit of that angst and that tension as each year passes within ourselves. For God to step in, for God to come in and rescue. And for hundreds of years, they have lived out such language as Psalm 13, verse 1. Brennan will be up there. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? There is this personal edge to this cry. How long, O Lord? There is this communal edge to it as well. How long, O Lord, will you wait until you return and finish what you started? How long, O Lord? Psalm 35, verse 17. How long, Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their ravages, my precious life from these lions. And out of the prophets, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? For hundreds of years, the angst and the tension of these cries and many, many more would have been built in to the heart of God's people. How long, O Lord, will you wait? How long will you tarry? Step in, do something, come and rescue us. And here is an unfortunate truth in the midst of the how long, O Lord. The longer they waited, the more susceptible they were to the false stories of their age in their waiting. Some, no doubt, waited with integrity. Unfortunately, some with idolatry. Some juggling other stories. Some with doubt. And so we too cry from the Psalms and from Habakkuk. How long, O Lord? Mary and Elizabeth would have had the angst of how long, O Lord, in their hearts as they lived under the rule and reign of the Roman Empire. And you wonder how Mary heard his rule and reign will never end. His kingdom will never end. In the midst of the angst and the tension that they would have experienced under Herod's thumb, and under the rule and reign of the Roman Empire and Caesar. Mary and Elizabeth would have both been known as a term called the Anawim, which simply means pious, poor. These were women who took their integrity very, very seriously. And their integrity did not depend upon how much they had, how wealthy they were, or in the abundance of their things. Their integrity was based upon their integrity in God, in the midst of their poverty. So her song, Mary's song with Elizabeth, because Elizabeth would have been present, reveals so, so much about Mary. So picking up in verse 39 of chapter 1. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get caught in the weeds of the theology of this. Just let the story be. Let the story be. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary pulls out a sixth string and she praises. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. There is much joy in Mary's voice as she cries out from her whole heart, "My soul rejoices, my soul glorifies, my spirit rejoices." Which this doesn't mean that there are two parts of Mary that she is identifying. She is talking about the totality of her entire being. The wholeness of who she is in praise to God, despite her circumstances. She has calculated all that's gone on. She has submitted to the word of the Lord. And she gives her heart joyfully to what God is up to in song. It's why I think so many of us love this time of year. So much of it is enwrapped and engulfed and packaged in song. And speaking of songs, we all have our favorites that we know, and we have some favorites that we don't quite yet know. The birth of the king, the image that you're going to see on the screen, is a free concert movie that is on YouTube. Should be the next one, Brett. Right there. You can tell I'm a little biased of this thing just because of the one guy that's letting it rip out in front. They actually let him do his thing in the concert. If you've not yet watched it, you've not yet heard it. So often he doesn't really get it out, but he gets it out in this song. If you don't know who I'm talking about, this is Clark Beckham. He's been to our church a couple of times. He's a former student of mine. And he is a part of this concert that is absolutely, positively wonderful. Sean even mentioned it this morning without me even cueing anything about it. He was like, "There's something I got to share with you." And he just said, "Tommy Prophet." And I'm like, "Yep, I already know what you're talking about." It's on YouTube. It's 100% free. And the also cool thing about it, it's 100% ad-free. So you don't even have to have like YouTube TV in order to get it without the ads. It's about an hour and a half. Well worth the hour and a half. And it's song after song after song after song of the Christmas story, of the hymns and the carols that we're all familiar with, but it's got some attitude to it. It's got a little bit of Revelation 12 in it. If it's been a while since you've read Revelation 12, I encourage you to go back and read Revelation 12 and then insert that into the Christmas story. I couldn't get Clark's version of it off of YouTube. Tommy Prophet had some settings that I couldn't work my way around to rip and to download. But I did get a version that Clark did this time last year. It's not the concert. You gotta watch it on YouTube and watch the concert. It's powerful. It's good. But the rendition that Clark does of Joy to the World is powerful and beautiful. And yes, I'm biased. I admit it. But it's well worth listening to. It's well worth worshiping with. So go ahead, Brent.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare.
I can sing. How long, O Lord? We cry out, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come and rule in our hearts right here, right now. But also, King Jesus, come back. Come back. Each year, as we journey through Advent, we are once again reminded and convicted of the now and not yet reality of the story that we have come to believe in, that we have put our faith and our trust in. Jesus has come and is now present right here, right now, ascended to the throne of God. And we are waiting for His second advent. So in the midst of our waiting, we watch, we work, we worship, we remind, and we remember. We wait, we watch. Jesus said, watch. One of the most proactive things that He tells His followers to do. Yes, be about My business, My kingdom, but also watch. We have to remind ourselves to not get so distracted and so burnt down that we quit watching for His return. But we work because there is work to be done in the name of Jesus. There is work to do in the name of Jesus. And we worship. And each year, with these stories that some of us are so familiar with, we continue to remind each other and we continue to remember. We remind ourselves of the story concerning the one that our faith is anchored in. Arise, team, y'all can come on up, please. As we draw our service to a close this Sunday, I encourage all of us to really dive in this year to the Advent season. Radio stations are already filled with 24/7 Christmas songs, so it's not like you can avoid it or run away from it. But maybe God is calling you into a deeper faith with Him this Advent season. Maybe Jesus is calling you to allow more of room for yourself, for Him, in your heart and in your life this morning. Please stand with me. As we have this final song as a song of invitation, the invitation always, each and every single Sunday, is if you would like to receive prayers from your brothers and sisters about anything that you've got going on, please come down and see me, and right after the song, we will pray for you. If you would like a more private, a more closed setting with one of our shepherds, they will be in the prayer room ready to receive you. But however you need to respond, I encourage you to do so as together we worship.